tomorrow morning. As a pastor, I've had the privilege of doing the funeral, or as they're often called today, celebrations of life for hundreds of people. But the very first funeral I conducted was not for a person, and I was not a pastor. I was an elementary school student, and the deceased was a bird that had flown into the window. Now, it didn't die immediately, but we put it in a cardboard box. We tried to nurse it back to health, but it soon did die. And my friends and I decided that the proper thing to do would be to bury the bird in the garden. And it seemed appropriate that a few words be said at the graveside, like we'd seen on TV. And it also seemed appropriate that we would give it a 21-gun salute, like we'd seen on TV as well. Now, we didn't have any guns, so we had to improvise. And there were these posts in the garden that were hollow. And one of my friends had a pack of firecrackers. And if you bend the fuse on the firecracker and put it in that tube, you can light it, and you can get a bunch of them lit before the fuses go, and they drop down inside the tube, and then poof. Now, it wasn't nearly as spectacular as we had imagined. It was rather disappointing, actually, but that was okay, because we weren't really grieving. It wasn't long, though, before the funerals that we had attended were for people, and the grief that we experienced was for real. And then not even an actual 21-gun salute could make things better. Most everyone has lost somebody to death, a parent, a grandparent, a child, a friend. And when I sit with Christians who have lost someone, they're going through this time of grief and tragedy, they often say, "I don't know how anyone makes it through this without faith. I don't know how anyone makes it through without Jesus." It's the hope that they have in Jesus that is their anchor, their rock, their comfort. And that hope is based on the resurrection. A dead Jesus is the same as no Jesus. But there is comfort and a peace that passes understanding in the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus allows us to face the most difficult parts of life. And life is hard sometimes, right? We lose jobs, we lose possessions, we lose friends, we lose family. But we can make it through because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we Christians hold on to four comforting assurances. Assurance number one: because of the resurrection, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's found in Romans 8. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. You know, those verses are good at any time we're facing difficulties in life, but they're especially comforting when we read them at a funeral. And other than John 14, I've probably read Romans 8 more than any other scripture to bring comfort in a time of grief. Because grief is in large part based on separation. Recently, we were babysitting our grandson, Brooks. You may have seen him run around the church every once in a while. His parents were at the Timberwolves game. And I thought that was going to be another piece of grief we were going to have to talk about today. But fortunately, they won yesterday. His parents were gone, and Brooks, well, he's a daddy's boy. And he likes grandma and me well enough, but nothing can replace his daddy. And as the evening wore on, Brooks began to ask for his dad. And we explained to him again and again that when the game was over, then they would be back. But the longer it went, the more the separation got to him. And finally, he started crying and crying and crying. It was full-out, inconsolable grief. And that's what separation does, even when you know that you're going to see someone again. It brings such deep grief. And the separation of death is perhaps the most deep and heartbreaking of all the separations we face. That's why it's so comforting to hear that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death, not even the death of someone we love and the grief that brings. Assurance number one is this: nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Assurance number two is the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have a good shepherd who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And not just our own death, but through the grief of the death of others. You know, I think I misspoke when I said that Romans 8 and John 14 are the two scriptures I use most in funerals. Because I know without a doubt that the most used scripture is the 23rd Psalm. And it's kind of interesting because the 23rd Psalm is not really a song about death. You know, read the whole thing. It's a song about having a good shepherd who walks with us every step of the way, from the green pastures and the still water to the dark and lonesome valley that it poetically calls the valley of the shadow of death. 23rd Psalm is about having a good shepherd who guides us through the hardest times of life and through the joys. And there is nothing harder than losing someone you love. You know, they say that funerals are for the living and not for the dead. No wonder the 23rd Psalm is so popular, because it gives us living the comfort that we need to face the valleys. Assurance number two is that we have a good shepherd who will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Assurance number three is, because of the resurrection, death gets what it deserves. I mentioned before that as a student intern, I was just there in the church a couple of weeks, very first church that I was a part of that way, when the pastor announced that he was going on vacation and I would have to take care of everything, including the preaching and the visitation. And no sooner had he left, then a young father in the church fell and broke his hip. They discovered he had cancer. And I visited him in the hospital, and I laid hands on him, and we prayed, and I just knew he was going to get better. And then that Sunday, well, I preached one of my very first sermons. I believe it was Pentecost Sunday, and I was preaching on the coming of the Holy Spirit. But while I preached that, we received word that this young father had gone home to the Lord. Now, I'd only known him for a couple of weeks, so my grief was not like that of his family. In fact, the strongest thing that I felt was not grief, but anger. I was mad. How could this young father, whose family depended on him and who loved him dearly, how could he be taken from them so quickly? And some people might get mad at God in a situation like this, but I wasn't angry at the Good Shepherd. I was angry at death. It was unfair. It wasn't right. And you could talk about making peace with death, or that death is just a part of life, or even that death is a good thing because he's in a better place. And I would have told you to stuff it. Death stinks, period. It's the great enemy, and I was angry. I wanted revenge. I wanted death destroyed. I wanted no more death, like the death of this young father. And maybe you felt that way too. You're not just grieving, but you're angry. Well, there's another great thing about the resurrection. When death did its worst and Jesus was laid out in the grave only to rise up on the third day, Jesus got revenge, and he got it for all of us. Death was defeated. The power of death was broken, not just for Jesus, but for every one of us for whom he died. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death has robbed us of loved ones. It has filled us with grief. It has darkened our minds and sometimes brought us to despair. But death got what was coming to it. Assurance number three is that death gets what it deserves. It's lost its grip, and life wins because of the resurrection. Now we have just one more to go. Our fourth and final assurance for today is because of the resurrection, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I think this is what people mean when they say, I don't know how anyone gets through this without faith or without Jesus. When life is hard and we lose something that's precious to us, we grieve. We grieve just as deeply as anyone else. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we don't feel pain or loss. It doesn't mean that suddenly everything will be okay and that everything will be blue skies and flowers, rainbows and unicorns. That's not what we're promised as Christians. Even for Christians, life is hard sometimes, and we do grieve. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We have hope, and we have that hope because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we know that Jesus lives, and because Jesus lives, we shall live also, even beyond the grave, even beyond death. We too shall be raised to new life with new bodies in a new resurrected life, in a new earth. Just as we heard in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus is just the first of a long line of those who will be raised, including us. You know, when Jesus was ascending into heaven after spending 40 days meeting people after Easter, the angels told the disciples who were standing there looking into the sky that he would come back just as he left. And they expected that that would be at any moment. They expected it to be like somebody saying, hey, I've got to run home and take care of a couple of things, but I'll be right back. But it didn't happen that way, did it? been 2,000 years. But it didn't take 2,000 years for some of these Christians to begin to worry. Because before long, Christians started dying. And they had thought that they would all be together when Jesus returned for the resurrection. And so they began to worry about the fate of their Christian brothers and sisters who died before Jesus came back. Did they miss out? Did they lose out on the resurrection because they weren't around for it? Did they die too soon? Well, the Thessalonian church was one of the churches that was wrestling with that. And so Paul assures them. He says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we know that Jesus died and rose again. And when he returns, it won't be just us and Jesus. It will be Jesus bringing with him all those who have fallen asleep in death, all the dead in Christ. So we will have those who are still alive and those who have died, all of us will be together with the Lord in resurrected life. Back last fall sometime, we did a series on children's books. You might remember that. And one of the books I shared with you was written by one of the members here at the church. Kara Gertis wrote it as she processed the death of her infant daughter. But she not only wrote a book, she's also written a song. The song is called Fly to the Father. And eventually, as Seth said, we hope to have that song and others on that app, so you'll have access to it. But I want to share with you a few words out of the song because it reflects on the hope that we Christians have even as we grieve. Oh, my angel, how I'll miss you so. There's the grief. We do miss so deeply. Spread your wings now. Fly to the Father. In his arms, I know you're home. And I'll see you again. There's the hope. And we have that hope because of the resurrection. A hope that we will all be together with the Lord in resurrected life. In this world, life is hard sometimes. But God is good. The assurances are great. And the promise is sure that we have life through the resurrected Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do suffer through grief and loss. There is separation, even though we know we shall be reunited. Lord, in all the difficulties that we face, we know that you are there walking with us. We know that there is hope to be found, that you intercede for us. We know that nothing can separate us from your love. And God, we have hope, so we thank you for that. We thank you for the hope that we have through the resurrection.